I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is Wednesday, March 6th at 2:03 p.m. Assisting us today, we have our LIO moderator, Emily Mesh, our committee secretary, Bree Wiley, and our members present are Representative Josephson, Representative Hannon, Representative Galvin, Representative Staff, Representative Edgman, Representative Colomb, Representative Cronk, Representative Tomaszewski, and Representative Foster. Today, the committee will receive subcommittee closeout reports. We will go through the reports grouped together by the chair of each subcommittee. And Legislative Finance is here and available for questions. We will begin with the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities with Representative Tomaszewski. Representative Tomaszewski, and would you and your staff please come to the table and go ahead and put yourself on the record and your staff on the record, and you may begin your presentation. I will also, before you do that, say that Representative Ortiz has joined us, and welcome to the House Finance other side of the table, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Representative Co-Chair Johnson. Pleased to bring this report before the committee of the Budget Subcommittee, Department of Transportation. I have my staff, David Goff, here, and he is going to go through the presentation.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. My name is David Goff, staff of Representative Tomaszewski, and presenting the Department of Transportation Public Facilities 2025 Fiscal Year House Finance Budget Subcommittee Narrative Report. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities held a total of four meetings and submits the following recommended operating budget for fiscal year 25 to the House Finance Committee. Recommendations: fund source, unrestricted general funds in the amount of $176,635,600, designated general funds in the amount of $70,395,600, other funds $441,465,600, and federal funds in the amount of $78,740,700, for a total of $767,237,300. Compared to the fiscal year 24 adjusted base, the subcommittee recommendations represent an increase of $21,476,100, or 13.8% in unrestricted general funds, $25,500,000, or 0% in designated general funds, and $11,238,950 in decrease of other funds, as well as a decrease of $9,827,100 in federal funds, for a total increase of $435,600 in all funds. Positions. Permanent full-time positions are 3,011. Permanent part-time is 281. And temporary is 147, for a total of 3,439.
And if I could just interrupt here for a moment, Co-Chair Johnson, just need to make sure we said that correctly. It's actually $25,500, not $25 million in designated general funds, just for the record. Thank you. Please continue.
Sorry about that. After reviewing and discussing each of the governor's proposals transactions in detail, the subcommittee adopted all items by unanimous consent. Some of the highlights of these items are commodity increases in all three regions to adjust for inflation, $4,578,000. Fund changes from from one-time COVID federal relief funding to general fund, $9,827,100. Airport lighting repairs, $626,500. Increased utility costs, $1,309,200. Increased share of build contract work for tunnel maintenance, $2,875,000. Alaska Marine Highway operating budget may have a large budget deficit based on unknown federal grant funding levels at this time. Create a new allocation for contracted statewide snow removal of $915,500. Subcommittee amendments. The chair set an amendment deadline, welcomed amendments from all members, and the committee received 3 amendments. After discussion, none of the amendments were adopted. The attached reports, the House Finance Budget Subcommittee for Department of Revenue adopted and attached reports. DOT and public facilities agency totals, DOT and public facility transaction compare, adjust the base, and House subcommittee and wordage.
And I'm thinking that's Department of Transportation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
All right, very good. Thank you, Representative Ortiz. And before we get started, I want to remind everyone that this is an opportunity for people, the subcommittees, to present their reports and not to go back through what the subcommittee has already done, but to answer questions, or if there's any questions on the report. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, under the bullet point of the Alaska Marine Highway may have a large deficit, do you recall like a ballpark figure you were talking about in terms of what that deficit would be, rather than just large?
Representative Ortiz, through the chair, the projected calendar year 25 budget gap is projected at $37,958,000.
It's pretty specific. Thanks.
Yeah.
Is that large enough? All right. Very good. We have next up, we have the Alaska Department. Thank you very much, Representative Tomaszewski. Appreciate that. Next up, we have the Alaska Department of Fish and Game with Representative Kronk. Representative Kronk, however you would like to present, I guess if you would like to come to the table and your staff come to the table, we always like to see you before House Finance. And go ahead and put yourself on the record and state your name for the record and introduce your staff and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Representative Mike Kronk, and I have my staff, Sue Stancliffe, with us, and we'll let her dig right into this. What's it? I could.
Madam Co-Chair, for the record, Sue Stancliffe, staff to Representative Kronk. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Fish and Game. The House Subcommittee held a total of 3 meetings and submit the following recommended operating budget for FY25 to the House Finance Committee. Recommendations are fund sources. Unrestricted general funds, $63,435,900. Designated general funds, $12,670,900. Other funds, $76,906,000. Federal funds, $95,516,300, for a total of $248,529,100. Compared to the FY25 adjusted budget, the subcommittee recommendations represents a decrease of $1,167,100 in unrestricted general funds, a decrease of $673,500 in designated general funds, an increase of $5,412,100 in other state funds, and an increase of $5,250,000 in federal funds, for a total increase of $8,821,500. Positions, Madam Chair, full-time positions with Fish and Game is 843, part-time positions 594, with one temporary, for a total of 1,438 positions. Budget actions. After reviewing and discussing each of the governor's proposed transactions in detail, the subcommittee adopted the governor's proposed FY25 operating budget without objection and with the addition of intent language and the following modifications. Commercial fish added $150,000 for the Central Region Fisheries Management Allocation in support of the Upper Cook Inlet test fishery. The subcommittee also denied the removal of a temporary increment for CFEC IT system upgrade, which the governor proposed to replace with a multi-year in language. This could be addressed in the full finance committee. Anchorage and Fairbanks Sportfish Hatcheries changed the base operating funding from $5 million UGF to $5 million in federal funds to leverage Dingell Johnson receipts. The subcommittee also modified the fund source of $350,000 increment for utilities cost increase from UGF to federal receipts. Subsistence added $250,000 UGF and one permanent full-time position to restore the director of subsistence to reestablish the subsistence as a division. The subcommittee also modified location of two resource specialists from the wildlife conservation to subsistence. The positions are funded with IA receipts in the amount of $300,000. Added intent language. It is the intent of the legislature to restore subsistence as a division, and the agency shall report to the co-chairs of finance and the legislative finance division on the status of those of these efforts by December 20th, 2024. Second intent language. It is the intent of the legislature that the agency shall provide a report detailing the activities of the Marine Mammal Protection Program and the Threatened Endangered Species Program to the co-chairs of Finance and Legislative Finance Division by December 20th, 2024. Subcommittee amendments. The chair set an amendment deadline, welcomed amendments from all members, and the committee received one amendment. That amendment was not adopted. Attached reports. The House Finance Subcommittee for Fish and Game adopted the attached reports of agency totals, transaction compare adjusted base to the House Subcommittee, transaction compare to the House Governor amend to the House Sub, and wordage. And Madam Speaker, that, or Madam Co-Chair, that is my report for Subcommittee.
Good. Any other comments, Representative Cronk, that you would like to make, and then we'll take some.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do. You know, we discussed this as a committee, and I don't think it's a hidden fact to me that subsistence is very important to rural Bush, Alaska, and not having a specific subsistence director or even an agent, it kind of the whole thing is really, to me, a slap in the face. And I don't expect the subsistence director to be a traditional subsistence director. We are far beyond having an anthropologist or a customary traditional use person. We have issues of ANILCA. We have intensive management. We need to be working with our tribes better together. We have some, you know, introduction of bison, which we need somebody that understands all these things, can go to the table and bring people together. And so that is the baseline of having this subsistence director brought back, because subsistence is a priority, not only in rural Alaska, but there's lots of urban people that, you know, subsist. So it's like, I don't want to separate the two, but I think it's does Alaska a disservice by not recognizing and having a subsistence director. So I'll leave my comments at that.
Okay, Representative Edgman.
I totally support both these intent languages, but just maybe a slight technical amendment might be on the second one. The first one, where it says shall report, maybe put a shall provide a report to align it with the second intent language. But I totally support both of these.
Um, So I guess we can do, I'm trying to think how we would do the cleanup, but we can do that with the consideration of the chair and subcommittee chair, however you want to do that. We'll figure it out. And if there are any opposition to changing some language, I don't see any. Okay. We'll figure that out. Okay, Representative Stapp, followed by Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Through the charity, the Representative Crocker, Ms. Stankoff. So just a quick question to me on the fund source change here for the receipt authority, Fed receipts for the, so you got a deletion of $5 million in general funds, you add federal receipt authority. That doesn't look like to me, it looks like straight GF to me and no match. So are there existing funds or are we just adding receipt authority because we can just get federal money that is existing? So I guess that's just a technical question.
Through the chair, Representative Stapp, could you identify which ones you're talking about, the $5 million?
Yes, that would be subcommittee item 32 through the chair. Thank you. And if I could, Madam Chair, I'll just read it through the chair to Ms. Stancliffe and Representative Crop. It says, fund source change to leverage available federal Dingell Johnson funding for sport fish hatchery operations. So,
through the chair, Representative Stapp, that is correct. Those are Dingell Johnson funds that they already have. And this, yes.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Next up, we have Representative Ortiz, followed by Representative Hammond.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Through the chair, I also would concur with Representative Edgman that I'm very supportive of the language here regarding a return to the subsistence division level management. Was there any discussion about habitat being restored as well? Did that come up at all? Obviously, with issues of the salmon in the western part of this Alaska and all that, and warming temperatures, oceans, things like that. Was there any discussion? Would there be a benefit, potential benefit, if we added habitat back because that was removed at the same time that subsistence was removed?
Through the chair, we did not have any discussion about habitat, but thank you for bringing that up.
Next up, we have Representative Hannah.
Thank you, through Chair Johnson. Representative Kronk, was there any discussion about invasive species work that also might intersect with subsistence or any need for expanding that budget?
Through the chair, Representative Hannah, yes, there was discussion about that. And I'm trying to remember exactly what the discussion was, but there was some at length, and they said that that is something that they are definitely very active in doing. I don't recall a specific fund amount attached to it, but they are very active with that.
Thank you. I'll also chime in. I think that restoring the subsistence division is a real good step. I think we'll see in a report that they start to talk about habitat and invasive species and other issues that we may have been in denial over.
Thank you, Representative Hannah, for that comment. Actually, that's very important to us. And one of the things that, through the chair, one of the things that was troubling through the discussions that we had was the lack of oversight about those things in specific as it associates with subsistence. Yes.
All right, any further questions on the Alaska Fish and Game Subcommittee report? Seeing none, then we appreciate your presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have the Department of Administration with Representative Colom. Representative Colom, you may come to the table and put yourself on the record and anyone and staff and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Julie Colom. I'm representative for House District 11, South Anchorage Hillside. And I have my staff here, Edra Morledge, that will go through the report.
Thank you, Chair and members of the Finance Committee. Edra Morledge for the record. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Administration reviewed the Governor's FY25 budget proposal and recommends the items contained in the below details. Unrestricted general funds, $87,648,100. designated general funds, $33,031,500. Other funds, $199,831,500. And federal funds of $1,243,600 for a total of $321,754,700. Compared to the FY25 adjusted base, the subcommittee recommendations represent an increase of $964,000 or 1.1% in unrestricted general funds, an increase in $285,100 or 0.9% in designated general funds, a decrease of $1,132,100 in other funds, a decrease in $214,000 in federal funds, for a total net decrease of $97,000, which is represented as 0% due to the rounding. The department has 1,181 permanent full-time positions, 7 permanent part-time positions, 25 temporary positions, for a total of 1,213 positions. Excuse me. After holding 5 meetings, reviewing and discussing each of the governor's proposed transactions in detail, the subcommittee adopted the governor's proposal with the following changes. The subcommittee approved a request for $45,000 for large screen monitors to assist the payroll section employees with the need to operate 3 programs simultaneously, helping to ensure timeliness and accuracy of processing payroll for state employees. And the subcommittee removed $50,000 in other funds for recruitment and retention for the payroll section, leaving intact a request for $600,000 in interagency receipt authority. Some of the budget highlights included $525,000 in UGF, or unrestricted general funds, to offset a 5% salary increase for exempt and partially exempt employees, and an additional 15% for attorneys in the Office of Administrative Hearings, $600,000 in the IA receipt authority that I just mentioned, $180,000 in one-time unrestricted general funds to move the payroll section to the state office building, $1,030,000 for cost increases for Microsoft licensed products. There is a request to replace $214,000 federal grant receipt authority with unrestricted general funds for court-appointed special advocate program. There also was a request for $411,000 in UGF for 2 temporary public guardians and 2 support staff for the Office of Public Advocacy. The subcommittee recommendations are, first, that the increment for the large screen monitors, that they have a fund source change to what the subcommittee adopted to change it to interagency receipts, allowing the agency to include it in the rate structure. And further, it's recommended that this item be designated as a one-time increment. It's also the intent of the chair to recommend the Office of Public Advocacy be moved to the Department of Family and Community Services, and the Division of Motor Vehicles to be moved to the Department of Community and Economic Development in an effort to move the department toward focusing solely on shared and centralized services. It's recommended that the Department of Administration provide information to the full House Finance Committee on the effectiveness of the payroll incentives that were provided in the last 2 fiscal years, including information on how many individuals were affected, how many of those were ultimately recruited as a result of the incentives, and provide the retention data of each individual affected by the incentives. This would assist the legislature in determining the appropriate amount of financial incentives or what other actions should be taken to recruit and retain employees in the payroll section. The chair had set an amendment deadline, welcomed amendments from all members, and the committee entertained 3, 2 of which were adopted as noted above. And the attached reports that the subcommittee adopted are the agency totals, the transaction compare from adjusted base to the House subcommittee, and the transaction compare from the governor's amended to the House subcommittee and the wordage report. And that concludes my narrative report.
Thank you. We have this is the opportunity for questions. Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, Representative Cologne, the subcommittee chose to reduce by 50,000 the governor's request on recruitment and retention incentives. And I know that it then provided this other item on the large screen monitors. Can you describe some of that for us, for folks like myself who weren't there, what the dialogue was like?
Yeah, sure. Through the chair to Representative Josephson. So one of the subcommittee members had reached out to the payroll manager and had a separate meeting and asked the manager if there's one thing that could help you do your job, what would it be? And it was bigger screens. Right now they're working on one 22-inch screen. They have to have three windows open. They have to scroll through. It takes a lot of time. And from what I gather, these were screens that were found in a storage somewhere that they kind of dusted off and had given payroll. And so the member had come to me and said, is there any way we could provide these screens to make payroll more efficient? And in my opinion, I know that the payroll incentives, but there's questions whether those are working and whether they're being put out correctly. And so I felt like the tools that people need to do their job is more important. And that's why I did the decrement to the incentives to pay for the screens.
Separate question.
Yep. Next question.
Through the chair, under budget highlights, the 5% salary increase for exempt and partially exempt, is that in anticipation of a bill that might require that pay hike for exempt and partially exempt? I'm just curious.
Or the 525?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this, through the chair to Representative Josephson, this actually, it stemmed from what happened last year with the increase, 5% inflation increase, the increase to the attorneys. What happened was DOA did not correct the amount they were charging other departments for those services. And the mistake was found too long into the year, and because they help like school districts and municipalities sometimes, they didn't want to throw everybody for a loop mid-year. And so they're asking for the UGF to pay the difference and that they would adjust that increment next year. We could have Ledge Finance come up and describe it more if that's helpful.
Yeah, sure. We can do that. We have Rob Carpenter here from Legislative Finance, and you can come and give a more in-depth explanation of what that was.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Rob Carpenter, Ledge Finance. As the representative was explaining, the agency received considerable increases last year, a combination of 20% for their attorneys, which caused the Office of Administrative Hearings to have to increase their rates to compensate for that. Which basically moved rates from this ballpark in here from $230 to $270, and it was deemed that that was a fairly impactful increase to the agencies that are being served, and this was a way to soften that blow.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that I thought it was my bill, and I sort of remember. I thought we were just using more UGF, and I don't know why that would require a rate of just as to hourlies for attorneys or something.
I'm through the chair, Representative Josephson. This was an across-the-board increase for attorneys, and in the Office of Administrative Hearings, they didn't receive any money in the fiscal note. So that agency generally operates as a, you know, they bill out their services, but
I think I'm following. They're not typical employees. They're unique. Can you give me an example of? I mean, I know the ALJs, the Office of Administrative Hearing,
do things like workers' comp appeals and that sort of thing. Perhaps you could give me an example of why those attorneys would be treated differently than a prosecutor.
Through the chair, Representative Joseph, I can't really say why they should be treated differently. This is a policy decision.
Thank you.
Yeah, just sort of a quick comment that my faith in the subcommittee process has been restored. If you can find $45,000 to be able to make an effective major change in terms of processing payroll for state employees, that's a pretty good find. So I just want to congratulate the subcommittee.
Representative Hannon.
Thank you. Through Chair Johnson, Chair Colomb, thank you. I enjoyed sitting on your subcommittee. The language about moving public advocacy and Division of Motor Vehicles, I'm wondering if you'd had any dialogue or thought about public defenders, because they're also in that agency. They just didn't seem to bubble up to the top this year, and whether that discussion of moving them out, getting DOA to just be that shared services duty.
Yeah, so through the chair to Representative Hannon, I guess I'm trying to incrementally strongly suggest things. So these were two agencies. Well, the DMV is an agency that's an issue, but it started with the public advocacy and having meetings with James Stinson and the commissioner. It was clear that they needed more support. I even reached out to Commissioner Colville about my idea. She said it would fit better in her department as well. I think you, to your point, you're right. Public defenders probably do need to move, but I chose the two obvious ones that would be able to move to include my recommendation.
All right, Representative Cronk.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Looking at DMV, was there any ask for added money for retaining DMV employees? And I'm specifically looking at a place like Choke. It's the first place across the border, and we just get inundated with the truckers coming across and people, and it's very hard to keep people there. So I was wondering if that was ever brought up.
So through the chair to Representative Kronk, I remember them saying the vacancy rates were really low. They started to get they're very stable, and I think that was department-wide. If you had picked a specific DMV or a specific area, that may have come up, but we did not ask them for that. And there's no big ask for any retention or anything for a DMV.
All right. Any further questions for our subcommittee chair? Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Next up, we will have the Department of Revenue. Presenting will be my Chief of Staff, Matt Groening. Matt Groening, if you would, please come to the table and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Matt Groening, staff to Representative Johnson. Before you have the Department of Revenue Subcommittee closeout narrative. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Revenue held a total of three meetings and submits the following recommended operating budget for FY25 to the House Finance Committee. Fund sources, unrestricted general funds, $32,411,900. Designated general funds, $2,456,300. Other funds, $339,419,900. Federal funds, $89,356,500, for a total budget recommendation of $463,644,600. Compared to the FY25 adjusted base, the subcommittee's recommendations represent an increase of $2,662,300, or plus 8.9% in unrestricted general funds, $5,605,100, or plus 1.7% in other funds, $560,000, or plus 0.6% in federal funds, as well as a decrease of $13,000, or minus 0.5% in designated general funds. Comparing this to the governor's proposed FY25 amended budget, the subcommittee's recommendations represent an increase of $133,500 in unrestricted general funds. That's a 0.4% increase. A decrease of $1,359,000 in other funds. That's a 0.4% decrease, for an overall decrease of $1,225,500, which is a slight overall decrease in all funds of 0.3%. In positions, we had 836 permanent full-time positions. We had 24 permanent part-time positions and 23 temporary positions, for a total position count of 883. Moving on to the budget action highlights. After reviewing and discussing each of the governor's proposed transactions in detail, the following items were amended, added, or removed by unanimous consent of the subcommittee. The subcommittee added funding to support a long-term care assistant ombudsman position within the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. This recommendation by the trust was not included in the governor's budget, but the subcommittee chose to add that. The subcommittee partially funded the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation's $100,000 travel request at $30,000. The reduction of $70,000 reflects the travel costs associated with the Anchorage Satellite Office. The subcommittee denied APFC's request of $60,000 in lease and technology support costs associated with the Anchorage Satellite Office. Further down, the subcommittee partially funded the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation's request of $50,000 for furniture, supplies, and equipment at $5,000. The reduction of $45,000 reflects the costs associated with the Anchorage Satellite Office. The subcommittee partially funded APFC's request of a 6% merit increase and corresponding benefit cost at 3%. The $920,000 request was reduced to $506,000. And I should note for the committee, I didn't want to clutter up the sheet, but all of these are permanent fund gross receipts as the fund source. Further down, the subcommittee partially funded APFC's incentive compensation request of $915,000 at $445,000. That $445,000 will be targeted at operations staff that support the investment team, who currently receive no incentive compensation. The subcommittee also reduced incentive compensation in APFC's base budget for investment staff by $300,000. This action still leaves $2.5 million in APFC's base budget for incentive compensation staff, plus the $445,000 in new incentives for operations staff. And finally, the subcommittee added intent language specifying that the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation should not establish or maintain new office locations without corresponding budget increments for those purposes, and that APFC should submit a report in December 20th, 2024 to the Legislative Finance Division and the co-chairs of actual expenditures to date related to the Anchorage Satellite Office. As far as amendments, the chair set an amendment deadline, welcome amendments from all members. We received one amendment, which was ultimately not offered. And for the attached reports, the revenue subcommittee attached the DOR agency totals, the FY25 adjusted base to House subcommittee, the FY25 Gov Amend to House subcommittee, and of course the wordage report, which also contains our intent language. That is my report, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Gruning. Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I guess this would be to the Chair Wirtz and Mr. Gruning. Did I hear you say you reduced the furniture budget from $50,000 to $5,000? Is that correct?
Through the Chair, Representative Stapp, yes, that is correct.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Follow
up. Can we get some intent language to tell them they got to shop at Value Village then to furnish the place? Just out of curiosity, $5,000 don't go a lot to furnish an office, but appreciate it. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
We did not include that intent language.
Yeah, Mr. Greening, under the line partially funded APFC's incentive compensation request, $915,000 at $445,000. The next sentence reads, the remaining amount, $445,000, will be targeted operations staff who currently receive no incentive compensation. And I asked this question, was this added by the subcommittee? Because that's the top, it says amended, added, or removed by unanimous consent. So I presume it wasn't a governor's director or a...
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, that was part of the original 915. They broke it out into the 445 for operations staff, and then the additional incentive compensation bonus, which would be the remainder for the investment staff. So it was part of the governor's request, but the way it was handled on the VA sheet was we decremented the entire 915 and then backed the 445 back in for the operations staff. So it was kind of a two-part transaction.
Okay. I follow up with this.
Follow
up? A separate question. Thank you for that. On the third line down, denied APFC's request for $60,000 lease and technology support costs supported with the Anchorage Satellite Office. What was the rationale behind that?
Through the chair, Representative Edgeman, I think the rationale, and just going backwards, the Anchorage Satellite Office was established more or less outside the appropriation process. There was some meetings that were had where the, both co-chairs were consulted on whether it essentially would give approval to making that move outside the appropriations process. The answer was resoundingly no. They went forward with the Anchorage office anyway. So I think the intent here is to protect the legislature's power of appropriation in regards to being able to approve expenditures and be able to look at line items and be able to approve what the board is proposing.
Thank you.
Representative Galvin.
It's not on this particular report, so I can wait until you're done with this report. It's on an earlier.
Okay. All right. Representative Josephson.
Madam Kuchar, I want to thank you for your work on this subcommittee. Thank you.
And I want to make sure everyone realizes that we appreciate the investment staff over at the Permanent Fund Corporation. There's no way that we, you know, wanted to indicate that they aren't doing a great job and that we value them. But based on the previous years, the $2.5 million remaining in the base under this proposal is more than adequate to fully incentivize and reward our investment folks. They have not reached that level of compensation. In FY22, APFC's investment staff earned $1.6 million in incentive bonuses, so significantly lower than the 2.5. In FY23, the number grew slightly to $1.7 million, and in the current fiscal year, $2 million in bonuses were paid, with $800,000 set to lapse to the ERA. APFC earned incentive compensation has never exceeded the $2 million, and the $2.5 million remaining in the base is under this proposal should be more than adequate. Permanent fund has a lot of flexibility shifting funds around and their allocations, and in a year when the board established a new office location outside of the appropriation process, this is just was a prudent budgeting as the legislative appropriators, and not a reflection on the investment staff. So I just want to repeat that. Again, we support the investment team. Confident based on prior years that this level of funding will fully cover incentive bonuses for FY25. And if for some reason that isn't the case, given the circumstances, I think a supplemental request would be appropriate. Representative Galvin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, and I just wanted to...
Chair.
I'm sorry. Chair. Wow. Although, you know... Chair Johnson, I wanted to reflect back on the Department of Transportation front sheet. I was just doing some quick math, and then I had it confirmed. It's not a major change, but there is a math error in the recommendations. Again, the front sheet, if you add the first four lines there, it ends in a 0.5, not a 0.3. So the again, it's the front page of the Department of Transportation subcommittee operating budget narrative report, page one.
Okay, just hold on just a second. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I got closed out on Department of Revenue. I don't think we just want to double check, but look around the rooms or any questions. Seeing none, we have now closed the Department of Revenue subcommittee report. So thank you. So I hear and appreciate what you're saying, Representative Galvin, and I think this is Representative Tomaszewski's department, and it seems to be a correction.
Correction for the record, through the chair. Madam Chair, if you're addressing me, Representative Galvin, Madam Chair, I just wanted to, for the public record, on page one, clarify that there is a math error in the addition of the fund sources. The total should read $767,237,500 instead of $300,000.
Very good. I appreciate you pointing that out. And my staff has assured me they have already pointed that out to Legislative Finance and that they will make that a correction. Thank you for putting it on the record, though. Appreciate it. All right. We have that completes our subcommittee presentations. Do we have any more additional committee discussion before we conclude? Seeing none, our next meeting is Thursday, March 7th at 1:30 p.m. And at that time, we'll be receiving the final round of subcommittee reports. And with no further business before the committee, we are adjourned at 2:49 p.m.